Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be taking up this message from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 here in just a minute. But first, I want to update you on what is happening over in Africa at this time. We are preparing for a couple of big events in Gather the Outcast Ministry. The first being that we are going to host a team from America in July, and we're going to be hosting a encounter conference, an Encountering God conference at our church in Makunda. And so this is a very exciting event for us, and there'll be some people coming to conduct the conference. We're going to assist them with facilities, with preparation of food and lodging and all of that. And so we're very excited about having these visitors, and it'll be the first visitors we've had over there because of the COVID virus, the first visitors in about 3 years or more possibly. And so we're very excited about that. We're going to do a three-day conference and then some work projects around the village to help the church people or the village people with their housing issues. And so we're very excited to be doing that. And so be praying for that. It's going to happen in mid-July. And then also in mid-August, we're going back to Tanzania. God has left an open door in Tanzania to preach crusades, so we're going back there. There won't be any holding back on that crusade. There's no issues regarding coronavirus in Tanzania, and so there'll be no holding back. We're going to go in there to Dar es Salaam, the big city on the coast, 6 million people there, and work with Bonnie Moitegi and Pastor Lazarus that we know there are organizing the crusade, and so we're looking forward to that as well. So keep that in your prayers. Keep our team, the Gather the Outcast team and the Living Water Orphanage team, lifted up in your prayers. And so we're going to have a good summer, God willing. We're going to have a good summer and raise the name of Jesus high in Kenya and Tanzania this summer. Well, today we're going to be talking about dealing with fear. And this is a big subject. As I spoke before, so many people are gripped with fear about the virus. Even people are gripped with fear about the vaccine, whether or not to take the vaccine, because maybe they've been told about different negative aspects of the vaccine or whatever. But fear is just a commonplace thing that is directing people's lives, and it causes people to act erratically, and it causes people to act sometimes violently. And we're seeing a spate of violence all over America, people shooting police, people shooting each other, can't even go to a birthday party, it seems like. You pick up the newspaper or the news and read about people shooting each other at parties, and of course, gang violence. All of this is just commonplace in America anymore. It used to shock us, but now it's just become commonplace, and we've become numb to the fear, numb to the violence. And so I want to talk to you today from this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles 20, because it's a situation that King Jehoshaphat was in, and he was gripped with fear. His people were gripped with fear. They were surrounded by their enemies. And I want to encourage you with this story today, beloved, because when you feel like you're surrounded by your enemies, when you feel like that the enemies are coming against you and overwhelming you, and you can't stand up to them any longer, you're backed into a corner, and you feel like you're paralyzed and you can't move, this is a time when you need to praise the Lord, and this is a time when you need to really seek the Lord. And so this is what Jehoshaphat did in this passage of scripture. Well, the people of Israel, the people of Judah and Jerusalem, were surrounded by their enemies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the people of Mount Seir. They were surrounded by their enemies, and it says in verse 3 of chapter 20, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." Well, there's the first important teaching for us a lesson we can draw from this. Beloved, when you have fear, when you can't seem to get over that fear, when you can't seem to praise the Lord or sing praise to the Lord, and you can't even seem to have a good prayer because you're just so full of fear and you're paralyzed, seek the Lord. That is the time to pray. That is the time to fast. That is the time to maybe set aside a day and just listen to worship music, or set aside a day and read the Bible. Get off by yourself with a Bible and a bottle of water and just seek the Lord and cry out to Him. And when you do that, God will bring a peace into your life. You may have to do it for more than one day, for 3 days, 7 days, who knows. I've done prayer and fasting for 3 days, 7 days. I've done Daniel fast for 40 days, many times 70 days. And so when you set yourself aside from the events of the day, from the events of your normal life and whatever it is going on in your life, just seek the Lord with all your heart, as Jehoshaphat did, and God will answer you. He will give you a peace. He will give you a strength. He will give you a new direction, possibly, and bring about a transformation in your life that you can then look at your circumstances through different eyes. So then, in verse 6, Jehoshaphat starts what I call proclaiming the goodness of God. And this is what you need to do. Just proclaim God's goodness and speak to Him what He already knows about Himself and what maybe you have forgotten about Him. Speak the goodness of God and proclaim how great and awesome a God we serve and how He can take care of your problems, and just reiterate or reemphasize that in your life. You may know it. You may have been a Christian for a long time and know it and confessed your faith in God, but just to proclaim the goodness of God is a great thing, and it'll bring faith, it'll bring hope, it'll bring confidence and boldness back into your heart. And so in verse 6, Jehoshaphat says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? That's a question. And God says, yes, that's me. And in verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? That's a question. God says, yes, that is me. And in verse 8, and they dwell in it, that is, dwell in this land, and you have built a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And so that is proclaiming the goodness of God. Beloved, we don't do that enough in our prayer closets, in our time with the Lord. You need to proclaim the goodness of God. When you go to church, you need to bow your head and just say, thank you, Lord, for taking me through another week. Thank you for taking me through another day, and proclaim the goodness of God, His strength for you to live, His blessing for you to have food, to have shelter. And the Bible says that the people of God will not be begging bread, and God is going to provide for you. He has already. But many times we forget that blessing. Many times we forget the prosperity here in America that God has brought to us, and we get burdened down with the fear, burdened down with anxiety, and we want to run to the doctor and get anxiety pills or depression pills or whatever kind of pills, or we want to worry and be anxious. And God says, be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to the Lord, and the peace of God then will come into your heart, that peace from Christ Jesus. And so you proclaim the goodness of God. And you notice in verse 9, Jehoshaphat says, if disaster comes upon us, and he lists the ways, the four judgments, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine. Those are the four judgments that befall a people when they come under attack, whether it's from the enemy or judgment upon himself because of wrongdoing, because of wrong decisions. And so those four judgments, the enemy brings the sword, the judgment comes from God, and sometimes he uses the enemy to bring judgment into our life. Pestilence, well, you could list COVID virus in that. In Africa, we list malaria because malaria is a big issue in Africa. Many people get malaria every year, and so every time they get sick or every time it gets rainy and cold, they start to fear malaria, and it becomes a big issue with them to pay for the medicine, and also days in bed or days with fever and days with coughing and all of that. And so pestilence is a big issue in people's life all over the world. People in America here, COVID virus took out many people, as we all know. And yet, at the same time, some people had it and weren't affected, had no symptoms. And so it was a very curious illness, a curious ailment in the way that it affected other people. And it's a bit like the flu, although it appears to have more lasting consequences to many people than the flu. But pestilence is something that we have to deal with in the human condition, and there may be something in the future even more deadly than coronavirus. And we're starting to find out some information about the origins of the coronavirus, and it wouldn't surprise me if even more revelations are revealed about that. And we'll know specifically where it came from, how it was engineered, how it got out into the human population. But it's something that we may have to deal with in the future in even more ways than we have in the last year and a half. And then, of course, famine. Well, we've seen a little bit of the breakdown in the food supply chain here in America because of the COVID virus. But Americans' food supply chain is very vulnerable to breakdown. It all operates on just-in-time delivery and high-tech technology in the farming and in the food delivery and the food processing. And so it's very vulnerable to breakdown. And I'm comparing it to the food supply we have in Africa, which is very simple, and it's a very simple supply chain. The food comes from the local farms and villages around each city, and the cows come in and they're butchered at the local butchery, and the meat is hanging in the butcher shops before noon of that day. And so the simplicity of the food supply chain in Africa, in contrast to America, makes me believe that the African food supply chain is not vulnerable to breakdown and to enemy attack the way it is here in America. So anyway, we need to pray for all these things, that God will give us wisdom in our food supply chain. He'll give us wisdom in dealing with pestilence and dealing with our enemies who are attacking us through cyber attacks almost daily now. And so when fear takes over, proclaim the goodness of God in your life and stand on that goodness, stand on that proclamation, and you will be able to receive the peace and encouragement from God. Well, in verse 14, God sends a prophet to speak to Jehoshaphat. At the end of these prayers, God sends a prophet. Amos 3:7 says, "The Lord does nothing without letting his servants, the prophets, know." And so when God is ready to move, the prophets know. We have prophets in America right now. We have prophets that are speaking out over the things going on in the government in America. We have prophets speaking out over things that have happened with the recent election in America. And so listen to the prophets. If you want to know what God is speaking to the body of Christ, other than through his word, which of course is primary, but God still speaks through prophets. Ephesians 4:11, Jesus gave the office gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. That has not been taken away. That has not been set aside. I don't believe, because I believe God has prophets, I believe he has evangelists, I believe he has apostles still operating in the church today. And so that is what we need to listen to and read your Bible every day. The primary source of God speaking to you is through his holy word. Read that Bible every day, and you will know what God is speaking in your life. Well, Jehaziel is the prophet, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he gives his lineage here, and he said in verse 15, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." And then Jehaziel gives strategy on how to deal with this surrounding mob, this surrounding army. "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." Jehaziel is saying, put your armaments away, put your swords and your spears away. You're not going to need them in this battle. And there were some battles where God, especially with King David, told him to go into battle, go up and fight against them. But in this battle, God says, you're not going to need your weapons. Put them away and position yourselves. Verse 17, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And so Jehaziel repeats that. Do not fear or be dismayed. God spoke to Joshua when the children were going into the promised land. He said, do not fear or be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Take heart. Take courage and take strength. First chapter of Joshua, read that about five times. God says, do not fear, be encouraged, be strengthened. And so in this passage, Jehaziel says, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And so Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Well, in verse 20, here's the battle as it unfolds. It says they went out early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Well, there it is, friends. That's the battle right there. God said through Jehoshaphat, believe in the prophetic word spoken over you. Believe in what Jehaziel said. The battle is God's. You're not going to have to use your weapons. And beloved, this is exactly what happened. They prayed, they fasted, they cried out to the Lord. God sent them a word, and they put that word into action. Verse 21, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Everybody say that. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Well, praise God for that. There it is, friends. There's the victory that Jehoshaphat was looking for. There's the victory that God gave them when they were obedient to the word of the prophet, when they were obedient to God's plan in the battle, and they didn't take up their own weapons. They didn't take up their own battle plan. They took up the battle plan of the Lord, and he delivered them from their enemy. Well, God said back in verse 20, you shall prosper when you believe in his prophets. Beloved, we're not talking about new cars in your driveway. We're not talking about a boat or a second house in the mountains. We're talking about defeating your enemies and taking spoil from your enemies. And so in verse 24, when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and none had escaped. And they took 3 days stripping all the jewelry and the precious jewelry off of the enemy, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Well, beloved, God is going to give a wealth transfer when you're obedient to the Lord. God is going to give you a wealth transfer, and you're going to be able to strip the jewelry off of your enemies. There's going to be a wealth transfer. You're going to see wealth come into your hand from your enemies, and you just have to trust the Lord, and you have to go with His battle plan in your life and trust the Lord that He can take care of the enemies. When you pray, when you fast, when you worship, and when you cry out to the Lord, that He hears you and He wants to see you victorious over your enemies. Greater is He that is in you, greater is God that is in you, than that little he that is in the world. And so when you cry out to the Lord and you're obedient to His battle plan, God then will deliver you and give you victory over your enemies. Well, I'm going to just briefly tell you about a battle plan I had in Congo back in 2012. I went into the city of Goma on the east side of the Congo. The rebel army was outside, just a few kilometers outside the city of Goma, and there was 18,000 UN troops in Goma, and Congolese troops, and troops from India, and the people were in dread fear. They knew that the enemy was coming in. They were going to take over the city, maybe massacre the people, and so there was great fear. We had a three-day crusade, indoor crusade, there, and we couldn't get a permit to go outside. We had an indoor crusade, and on the third day, the lady, a pastor's wife, who came with us, there was a team of five of us, came from Nairobi, and she came to me at the breakfast table, and she said, "Jim, the Lord gave me a word for you last night." And I said, "Well, that's great. I want to hear a word from the Lord, because I'm getting very frustrated. I haven't seen much happen here, and I'm not sure why God brought us all this way to Congo, and just for this little meeting here." And so she said, the Lord said, "You just preach the word. The battle is mine, and I will take care of the enemy if you just preach the word." And so that word gave me great encouragement. I went out that night, the last night of the crusade, and I preached from this passage of scripture, this very same passage that we're looking at today regarding Jehoshaphat. And a great glory cloud came down in that meeting hall that night, and people started to praise and worship, and people started to dance, and this pandemonium praise broke out, and it went on for 30 minutes. We had to be ushered out of the building because of the permit. We had to leave the building at 7 p.m., and so this praise was cut off, but it might have gone on for hours, I don't know, but it was very exciting to see the people praise and worship. And when the dust settled, the enemy came in. I left Goma with my team, and the enemy came in, and I was very disappointed and discouraged about it. I thought, "Lord, you haven't heard our prayer. You haven't answered our prayer the way you answered Jehoshaphat." And so I was discouraged about that. But after a few days, like 7 days, the enemy picked up, and they left without any bloodshed, without any massacre, and they just left. They went back out into the forest around Goma, and about a month later, I got a call from my brother David over in Goma, and he was very excited when he called me. He said, "Jim, you won't believe it, but the enemy are out there in the bush. They're out there in the forest, and they're starting to ambush each other." And I said, "Praise the Lord, that's exactly what I expected to see. That's exactly what I wanted to see happen." And we made decrees and declarations, and the Lord heard them, and the Lord answered our prayer, and we didn't have to go to battle. God took care of the battle for us. And even to this day, around Goma and that area of North Kivu, almost now 10 years later, the enemy has never coalesced, and they have never attacked Goma again in that period of time. And basically, out in the countryside around there, it's very safe. There is no rebel army out there. And so, praise God, you can help change the destiny of nations. You can cry out on behalf of your people and stand and position yourself on behalf of your people and watch the Lord move and watch the Lord defeat the enemies in your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast today and each and every week that you would tune in for these broadcasts. And we appreciate your support. We appreciate those who have prayed for us and supported us with their contributions in the past. I invite you to sit down today and make out a check, support this ministry, pray for this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but for the projects that we have going in Africa. We need your support, and God will bless you when you do that. You'll be blessed, we'll be blessed. If you can't go, you can send, and so we appreciate your support and your prayers for this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week.